And as we read from Kings this morning, we read from Kings 19 and from Psalm 34 and Ephesians 4 and 5, and now from John 6, we hear Jesus describing himself as the bread of life. As we discussed last week, Jesus starts off, when he taught us the Lord's Prayer, he said, give us this day, and he said in this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. In the ancient world, and in much of the world today, bread is the sustenance of life. So therefore, it's a perfectly appropriate metaphor for Jesus Christ, for the Word of God. The bread, that nourishes us, that keeps us alive. that we cannot live without. I have some of my grandchildren, I think I would have to substitute that with meat, because that seems to be the thing that keeps them alive. They seem to want to eat meat. I guess that's a sign of growing young guys, you know. But Joe came home last night he drove up to Gannett, Pennsylvania yesterday to look at a 1965 Thunderbird. And he told me that, I said, well, how was your trip? He said, it was great, Grandpa. He said, the car was good, the drive was nice. And I stopped at Wendy's and I got a triple deluxe cheeseburger with three burgers and three big pieces of cheese and tomato and onion. We eat to live, but sometimes we live to eat. You know, it's and I think that's how it is with the Word of God. We need God to stay alive. We need food to live. But wouldn't it be a bland life if all we did with food was just eat to stay alive? Wouldn't it be a shame if all we did was to grind up the grain and make the bread or dissolve it in some water and consume it to get our nourishment? And eat some form of bland protein just to stay alive. But I've got to tell you, that is the truth for many Christians in this world. Many people who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior at some time in their life, some people who have the Holy Spirit has drawn in and brought to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, spend the rest of their life just depending upon their salvation without ever really living their faith, without living it. You know, sometimes in our faith, we need to get that triple decker cheeseburger with all the fixings. Isn't it a bland world where all we do is think, well, I've received Jesus Christ, therefore I'm saved. And that's enough. What are you doing with your faith? I think the thing that keeps so many of us from having a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit is that we will only accept the Holy Spirit on our terms. I don't know how many of you have seen the advertisements that's been on television off and on for a couple years from Korean Airlines. And the whole song is sometimes spoken, it is sometimes sung, but it always has beautiful, beautiful, slender Korean ladies ministering to people and helping them to relax on what looks like a very plush airline with extraordinary dining, and they're telling you the whole time, it's all about you. And of course, we go to Burger King and we have it your way. And we can laugh about having it your way, but the fact is, I would like to have Jesus my way. I want Jesus in my life. I want to know that I have salvation, but I want it my way. And that's not what Jesus is saying to us, is it? The people in the desert, after they were brought out of Egypt, needed to eat. They were in the desert. There was no food. Moses talked to God, and God gave them manna. And the people grumbled, because even though it was rich, it was a rich substance like bread that they could take and make their bread from. It was like a flour that sprinkled on the ground that they could gather and make their cakes and bread from. It wasn't enough for them. They grumbled, and so God sent them quail in the evening to land in their camp so that they could have meat. God provided for them, but they wanted it their way. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Feed on my flesh." It's impossible for us to see our world or ourselves through the eyes of God. But we do need to look and think about how Jesus looked at the world as one who was fully God and yet fully man. When he said, "You must feed on my flesh to live," obviously he didn't mean that people were to take a bite of him or take portions of him and cook that. That would be silly. What Jesus meant was that when he said, "I am the bread of life," we have to remember who was writing this. It was John who was writing this. And John said, "In the beginning was the Word." So we know when everything that Jesus said begins with the beginning of the book of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And he's talking about Jesus. So when Jesus said, "Feed on me," he means to feed on his Word. And of course, we talked about the need last week of feeding on his Word as our daily bread, feeding on his Word every single day, because we need nourishment every day. Jesus kept relating to being the need to feed on him as bread, because we need food every day. Most of us in these days eat 3 times a day. Some of us, like me, might eat more often, but 3 times a day. And yet, how often do we dwell upon the Word of God? Jesus is comparing our need for food with our need for His Word, our need for Him in our life. And yet, He was also doing more than that. He said, "This is my body." Now, this is the body that Jesus was going to take to the cross. This was the body that was part of God's plan that would be beaten and tortured and nailed to the cross. This is the body that Jesus would be dwelling in when God turned his back on him and laid upon him all the sins of the world, all of my sin, all of your sin, as he hung on the cross. And he had this additional burden on him. And Jesus said, "To feed on me." This is the body given for you. Don't you know that all of this is part of God's plan for your salvation? If you look at the scripture in the big picture, it's hard to see where I fit into the big picture of God. And I would not fit in if it was not for the personal relationship through the Holy Spirit that we have with God. So how do we know that this is really a grand plan and not just a response to circumstances? How do we know that Jesus wasn't just a prophet who got carried away with his power? Just as Moses, when God told Moses to strike the rock with his staff and it would produce water, Moses took credit for it himself. It's easy to get carried away with power given to us by God. It's easy for us to think that when we pray for somebody and they are healed, that we had something to do with it. It is the work of God. God's plan has manifested itself in so many ways. Don't you know that when God told Moses that he was going to bring one more plague upon Israel, upon Egypt, because they would not release the people of the Jewish people out of Egypt, he told Moses that he didn't say, you know, one day in the near future, this is what's going to happen and I want you to prepare for it. No. He told him on the 14th day of Nisan, which was a lunar described time. It referred to a certain phase of the moon. On the 14th day of Nisan, everyone shall take their very best lamb with no blemish and sacrifice it to the Lord, and take the blood and put it on their windows, on their door frame and on above the door, and I will pass over them when I come and kill every firstborn in Egypt. Every firstborn child, every firstborn calf in Egypt will die, unless they have the blood of the lamb sacrificed on the 14th day of Nisan. Don't you know that Jesus went to the cross on the 14th day of Nisan? Don't you remember they were celebrating Passover? It was on that same day that Jesus was sacrificed on the cross. The one that John the Baptist looked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the thing about this is, this wasn't something that God did for the people of Israel in Egypt. No, he said it must be over every door of the people of Israel. It was personal. God knew who the people of Israel were, each one of them by name. When God gave his son Jesus for you, so that you might have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally, it was personal. He did it for you. He knows your name. And so when the blood of Jesus was shed for you and for me on the 14th day of Nisan, just as the lamb was at the first Passover, it was for us personally. And so as we think about the scripture telling us that Jesus is the bread of life, it doesn't mean that this is the bread that just comes to the people of God. It is not that. Jesus is saying that you personally must feed upon this bread. You personally must read his word as your daily bread, as your daily sustenance. I encourage you to delve into the Word of God, to spend time reading and rereading the Word of God. Don't try to finish the Bible in a year. Don't try to read the Bible in 3 years. Some of you can do that and understand what you read. I have to read a verse sometimes 20 times to even begin to understand what it means. for one verse. A chapter could take all week to even begin to look at a portion of a chapter. In our Wednesday night Bible study, we're 5 weeks into it and only on the second chapter of John. Spend time with this word. Don't just take a meal on the run. Don't just grab a bite at the drive-thru. Sit down with it. Feast on it. Enjoy it. It is an abundant meal. It is a rich meal. It has all the garnishes and all the extras that anybody could want. And it's satisfying. And if you aren't experiencing a satisfying experience when you read the Word of God, if it feels like, oh, this is just something I got to do, like I got to get some food in me, then spend time in prayer. Spend time with the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the meaning of this Word in your personal life. Because the meal is rich. It is a feast. It is abundant. And it's been prepared for you. Amen.